The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 10th, 2015. We are sponsored by Dr. William Wan's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com. Dr. Wong is on the show once a month. The guy is just explosive, man. He's the best, I'm telling you. He's so much fun. When he's sponsoring me for Iceland, I want to thank him for everything he's done for me. It's great. Next, we have Soren X, and we have Bert Soren on today. And they were kind enough, he and his dad, to sponsor me for Iceland and sent me their Diamond Bar. Now, this is a trap bar, and this is what I've always wanted to do, and I talked to him prior to this. It's so mammoth, you can put it in the power rack, and you can press with it. By far, it's one of the smoothest bars I've ever used, and it's a beast, man. Just the look of it would make you want to lift houses when you look at this thing. So go out to SorenX.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. And if you'd speak to the guys, tell them I sent you. And I want to thank them for their sponsorship, too. Next, we have Hearts Collision. They're located in New York, upstate New York. They've been good friends of mine forever. And I was just telling Bert about a book we're going to talk about in a second. I'm kind of like thinking now in a different way with a lot of things. It's like Alex is a big guy, lean, but you always see the hands and wrists. This guy is the fingers on him. I mean, you think about it, beating metal all day with your, you know, and torches and lifting. And I love it, man. So we want people like that. You know, we want manly men, man. That's just the way it is. You don't have to necessarily be a weightlifter. And I truly believe stuff like that shapes your look. Pretty amazing. So, Hearts Collision, 518-477-7937 or heartscollision.com. Give him a holler. They're the best body shop around here. I'm telling you, the best. And he's a great guy. And for anybody who doesn't know, I'm training his 14-year-old son who's a basketball player. He's already 6'1". He was 145 when he came here 9 weeks ago. Last, he was 151. We're going to get a weight on him. I'm training him strictly with the Soren X trap bar, the Diamond Bar, and strongman stuff. And the kid is phenomenal, and we're moving into bigger stones this weekend. We're going to run him with 2 Hoosa steel stones. And he's informed me, too, he wants to do strongman. My face lit up. He'll be 190 pounds ready to go next year. He's going to train with me all winter. So we're going to have some fun. Next, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Just download that for free. No gloss, no nothing. 10 paragraphs to make you think, build, and do. Give it a shot. Go out and check out our Winner's Circle. That's our big product that's coming out. It's just about here. That's 12 modules I did speaking. 27 to 34 minutes a module. It covers everything that I've done from the beginning right down to the last chapter where it'll say my love of the power rack. In between, you got, let's see. We've got sandbag domination, the return of the iron boots. If you know anything about York Barbell, they were very prevalent a long time ago, and I use them big time. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check that out. Obviously, we're looking for sponsorship. We're only charging $300 a month. If you need any type of branding, that's extra, and Chris can do any of that. Look at my websites. They're phenomenal. And the main site is really going – it's in the process of changing the branding and everything to really reflect our new look, not only our new look and our aggression. It's phenomenal. So check all that out. But you can go out, fill out the form. It's all set there. You can put your credit card, whatever you want to do through. We want to have a 25-year relationship with everybody or longer. That's what I'm looking at. And we're looking at 1 million listeners. And right now, in 46 weeks, we have over 65,000 listeners already. I promise you we're going to do 1 million. And I mean that wholeheartedly. So get on board with us. Let's help each other out. You can help this show grow. get bigger. We're out in the UK now, so we are growing exponentially. Last but not least, Chris Bigelow does all the magic from monsterdevelopment.com. 800-687-1609. Give him a call. Tell him we sent you, and you can click at the bottom of the homepage. That'll link right to him. Well, today we have Bert Soren on. Bert's on every month with me now. Like a lot of people, I'm trying. They want to be on monthly. It's hard, but Bert's been with me for quite a while, and his dad, Richard, is on. You know, he's on periodically, and I'm going to try to get him on before the end of the year again. But for those of you who don't know, Bert's a big Highland Games guy. I mean, strong. You know, let's face it, the guy's stronger than dirt. There's no doubt about that. And you know, he is the CEO of Sorenex, and you know, obviously, I'm going to be partial towards him, and I'll admit it. Not only because of the way I've been treated, but they've sent me something they didn't have to do, and I appreciate that. And with the injury, it's helped me out big, big time. I was telling them offline yesterday, in the last few workouts, if they're indicators, it's going to be like a tornado soon. So that's what I'm into right now. And you know, I will say this. When his dad was on the last time we got off the air, this is the kind of people they are. His dad was, anything you need, anything I can help you with, you don't hesitate to call. You don't get offers like that from a lot of people. So I appreciate both men and, you know, and what they've done. So, Bert, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Hey, thanks a ton for having me, Eric. Nice. First of all, congratulations on all the growth. It's been fun to see you guys expand, and obviously it's because of the great product you're putting out.
Thanks, man. And you know damn well you're pushing your ass off to do everything, you know. And we've talked about this a lot of times, you and I. It's the love for it, and there's no guarantee it's going to pan out or anything. But I just think the force, the will within you. I mean, even when you get your head knocked off, you just know it's right, and you keep coming back. And this is what I'm trying to stress with everybody. And you know. Especially, I'll tell you a big thing for me, and you know, you've got children, and you know, I had my nieces and nephews over here, and my little nephew Danny's 5, and of course, you know, I think he's got a damn good gene pool he's drawing from. My brother-in-law is like 6'4", you know, 280, and you know, played semi-pro football. He's a big football coach here, you know, teacher, all that, and you know, we got him outside among those stones, and I got a little 15-inch car tire because I lift the log off that thing. And there he is, man. We got him flipping it. And I said, you got to chase it, Danny, like that. He'd flip it, man. He'd run right up. I showed him how to flip more with his hands to the side, you know, underneath, because I'm already teaching him about biceps, man. All right? He's flipping this thing, man, and we're going wild. And then I had a 50-pound stone there. You know, he would get it up and stand it, and sometimes he'd push it over or not. But I was like, you know what, man? I mean, this is already, we started the seed in him a long time ago, and he comes out and does it. And my little niece, too, she's 8. She's a tiny thing, man, but she is just a ball of strength and fire. This kid can, man, you want to see the handstands, and she's getting wrestler's bridges. It's just so cool to watch. But quickly, with little Al, who's 14, now, you know, I'll tell you what, watching the progression of this kid is it's unbelievable, and I'm sure you've seen it a lot through your students and, you know, your own children. And, you know, I'll tell you what, Bert, when a kid tells you that he wants to get bigger and wants to go in a strongman meet next year, it's like, that's like Christmas for me, man. It's like, you know, he's going to stay with me all winter, and it's not going to be I'm going to be training him. He's going to train with me to get ready for events. And you know how friggin' fun that's going to be, man? And obviously he's going to be using a lot less with weights. But the opportunity, man, is like incredible for both of us. And it's like what I'm starting to do with him, I'm starting to make him become the teacher to me now. You know, sure. I am taking his mind now and setting him up to do that. And you know what's the greatest thing? Every week I see a change in him, man.
Every
week. You know, isn't that what it's all about? I mean, it's great to own Sorenex. It's great to have Firo, a barbell, and motivation. But isn't the real thing we aspire to make people better? And, you know, and you see these young kids, you know, all you ever hear is negative shit about kids. But, man, here's a kid sitting here that's pure positive energy, you know. I love it, dude. That's all I can tell you. It pumps me up just to talk about them like this, man.
Well, the kids are the greatest. That's what's cool about, like you said. I mean, some people think you're trying to live vicariously through their kids, and maybe a little bit you are, because you're able to relive some of those major connection points mentally when the kid understands how to, even little kids, when they understand how to jump or over something, or when they're learning how to run, or they're learning how to do basic motor skills, or they connect the dots on a sentence or what something is. And that's where my kids are now. I mean, my kids are really little.
Yeah.
So, you know, just watching my kid jump over a 6-inch hurdle and then crawl under a 12-inch hurdle, just little things like that, they're understanding, like, oh, if Daddy sets these up, this is really fun, and I could do this, and it's kind of hard. And last week I wasn't able to make it over the 6-inch hurdle, and this week I can. And to me, that's more fun watching that and being a part of that than it is for me to squat a big weight or whatever. And I mean, of course, I would love to, but – you know, I've had my time. I competed for 20 straight years, and I've been deadlifted double body weight since I was 9 years old. So, you know, it's going to take a lot to get really, really excited about my training. But being able to see my son and my daughter one day as they develop, that's the fun stuff. And you made a good point about the young man that was going to train with you. I think the key is to have, especially when they're young enough to understand, like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, let them train with you, not you train them. Because I think when you train with them, they start learning accountability. Because although he may be 8 or 9 years old, I can't remember which one you said. Or how old?
He's 14. He's 14.
14. Okay. Wow. Oh yeah. So at that age, he certainly can be accountable. And part of being a good training partner is being accountable and learning that you do, in fact, matter. And that's what it's so many kids right now. That's why you're getting a lot of this suicide, and you're getting aggression and bullying. And because kids don't know, do their actions actually matter? Are they relevant? And if you could show the youngster that they are relevant, they do matter, i.e., if they're your workout partner, they need to show up, because you need to have someone to help load the bar. You need to help someone spot. You need proper rest periods. And all that stuff comes from a workout partner. So teaching that early to them, that they need to be able to interact with adults, interact with someone of authority, and to be a part of a team. And that just because they're little doesn't mean they don't matter. And I think that's what my dad did so well with me. I've been in a weight room since I could remember. And then there was an era from where I was just given weights to play with and have fun to when I had a program and Dad would train me. And then it was, I was part of the group, and I was only 12 or 13 or 14 years old, but I was part of the rotation. I had to strip my own weights. I had to load my own bar. If the group was getting together, we needed a specialty bar. I was supposed to know what bar that was, where it was, and get it loaded on the rack. That's just how it is.
Yeah. And well,
because
go ahead.
You grow up.
Well, you know what it is, too, I've done with him? I think I told you on the last show, the first thing I made him do was order Think and Grow Rich, all right? Because even though it's a book from the 30s, that has such relevance, and any big speaker is always going to refer to that book as it was sometimes a turning point in their life. And I tell him, I want you to just reread it. But I've done to him, because he's kind of a quiet kid, I make him describe everything he's going to do. His father's there. I require parents there up to 18 years old. It's none of the one-on-one. A parent has to be there. But I will make him introduce what he's doing, explain the movement, explain the bar he's using, and show everybody how to execute. Let me tell you, man, I've seen him go from kind of a quiet to now his shell is snapping wide open. He's getting a lot more confident. He knows how to speak. And I said, those are all very important things in life. You know,
absolutely.
You need to, exactly. And I said, you know, my father always said, be a leader, not a follower. I said, now you are a leader. Don't be afraid to put your hand up. Don't be afraid to stand up and speak. I said, I'm telling you right now, whether you stay in this stuff or not, you stay here long enough, because he's got great parents and they're just like that. It's like, you're going to be the model man out there. When you go into someplace, you're going to command your presence. And I'm telling you right now, it does matter. I said, don't worry about all these, like his buddies, all they do is bench press. I said, wait till they tangle with you come September, man.
Right.
I was like, you know what I'm saying? It's not, you're going to be built from head to toe. It ain't going to matter how much you bench at that point. And then when we get going, we get going. But today we're going to talk about something very interesting. We're going to talk about working around injuries because, as you all know, I've had some shoulder stuff for the last 3 months. And we've, you know, this is the side where the bicep had to be repaired and all that stuff. And I'm always a little bit cautious, and I shouldn't really have to be, but when you have something like that, you never want to repeat. And one of the things that I got into was obviously when Bert and his father sent me the trap bar. That was one of the main things I was preaching because I really wanted to lay off the stuff on the shoulder. I didn't want to be pulling from the front end of myself. And plus, with the bicep being there, I wanted everything more like in a supination phase. So we're going to get into that, but we're going to talk about other things too. So, Bert, why don't you lead off here? Let's talk. You know, this is a thing we don't discuss that much. Let's talk about – we can get into my shoulder, whatever you want. How do you want to start out injury-wise, or how do you want to proceed with this?
Well, I think one thing, we were talking about off air, no one likes to talk about injuries, but
yeah,
it's my personal opinion that until you plateau, and more importantly, until you get injured, you don't really know how to train. You know, and some people will take me to task on that and say, well, if you've been injured, you don't know how to train and you got hurt. Well,
yep.
I've never seen anyone that really understood training very, very in depth over years and years and was able to replicate a positive change in folks, regardless of age or regardless of level, that had not been injured themselves or had one of their clients injured. And I hate to say it that way, but you just don't know until you know. And
yep.
Everything works on a beginner. Nothing works forever, and usually when you're really healthy, everything still works pretty darn good. And only after you get injured or get some major setbacks do you really start learning what muscles connect where and why. What is the joint threshold of the shoulder versus the hip versus what gets tight, which makes my back hurt, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is really fun to read on a book. To how to do it until you've been bandaged up, I don't really consider someone a very effective coach or a trainer until they've broken some eggs.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you another thing too, which relates to all this. I don't know if you've been noticing, but I'm sure you read a lot and poke around at things. We've taught you and I and a lot of the people on this show. We usually always get into the mind stuff and people, you know, the feedback I'm getting, they appreciate it more and more and more because it's not necessarily going out and buying a book. You're hearing it firsthand from guys that have been involved in some pretty hairy stuff at time, have had injuries, have had setbacks where, you know, I know with the bicep, the first question was, you know, I didn't even care about anything. When I walked in that ER, I was like, will I ever lift again? Most guys that are so involved with their lifting, that is going to be the first things out of their mouth word-wise. That was a big head crusher to me to have that happen. But the thing is, if you've been noticing, everybody now seems to be writing books or they're getting ready to write a book on something about your mind. I'll tell you what, quickly before we get back in, I'm going to tell you my opinion. I've been saying this lately, and I will have something good down the road. I think the best thing that could – well, it wasn't the best thing that ever happened to me. I had my brother and my best buddy, Joey, he's family anyways. I started getting out of, you know, like the power bodybuilding, power lifting with them and started doing all the dead stop rack stuff, you know, squats and the overhead. If I wanted to do a floor press, deadlift, you know, static holds, whatever, all right? They didn't think there was any merit in it. And it turned into – a pretty bad scuffle with goodbye, F you, see you around. We didn't speak for 10 years, none of us, all right? So I had to start from scratch with nothing. I think I had a York power rack and maybe 1,000 pounds of weight. So That's a scary shot for a lot of people because most people aren't used to being alone training. I'll tell you this. You want to build mind power? Go out and train alone for a few years. See if you got it.
Absolutely.
Right. That's the recipe my book would be based on, and I'll tell you why. If you've got the DNA for it and if you got the slats between your legs, you're going to become the best you'll ever be because here's the deal. There's no audience in there cheering you on. I don't care if you know from walking out in the field, you know, with the Highlands, and I know just from Iceland and all that. You know what? I don't even hear anybody when I'm doing that. They could be screaming my name at the highest decibel range there is because when you're out there, man, it's you. And that's it. It's nice for people to encourage you and tell you how great you are, but are they going to go lift that caber for you? Right. Are they going to go throw that stone for? Are they going to go carry my stuff? No. So I'll just leave it with that. I mean, because we always get into it, and if you want, we can get into more of this. But
I agree with you. I think training alone, there's obvious advantages at times to having a big training group. I mean, that is documented and obvious. But I do think kind of going on a vision quest for a while and training by yourself and really seeing what you're made of and B, how much do you really love lifting and love being strong? Because if it's a social event for you, that will be removed and you'll realize, hey, I like going to the gym because I like hanging out with the people at the gym. And that's okay.
Yep.
But that's not going to carry you through a hard competition when you're two foul throws and you have one throw to make the Olympic finals, or when you've already been injured and now you're going to go back to Iceland to carry a stone like that.
Right.
That social aspect of it is fun, and that's where a lot of CrossFit works out well because it's a big social experiment.
Yeah.
Not to say that there aren't athletes that are training by themselves doing really well, and not to say the social isn't good. But you have to look at really what it's breeding and what it's developing. I trained for two Olympic trials in a gravel parking lot by myself for 5 years. And every once in a while I'd have someone come in town and they'd throw with me for a few days, or someone might come out and watch every once in a while. But for the most part, 98% of my training was done in a gravel parking lot by myself after work for 5 years. And then it became another 5 years of a grassy field after work by myself throwing for Highland Games. And I think Dan John said it really well. He said, if you want to be if you want mastery of something, he said, you want to be a good discus thrower? He said, learn to snatch, learn to front squat, and learn to throw discus, and then do it for 8 years.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it boils down to. It's not complicated, but it's hard. Don't get the two mixed up.
No, and you know what it is too? It's like you just said, like three movements to do. This is where people get so screwed up. Well, this isn't working, so I'll plug this in. You know what? You got to take something that's tried and true, unless it's hurting you, and you got to develop it. And like you said, 8 years. All right, are you disciplined enough to give 8 years of your life? Most people are not. You know, when I talked to Bill Crawford yesterday, he said, especially kids, it breaks his heart. He goes, you see, these kids are just so goddamn weak now. And it's not just mentally. They're just physically weak.
Right.
And it drives me nuts. It's like, and then, like you said, there's bullying. There's this, that, and the other thing. It's like, something? Change your attitude. Change your lifestyle. And get in with somebody or a group, like you said, that can work with you, that can help you. Because I'm telling you right now, I've seen it firsthand so many times. I'm living it right now a little out. It's like I'm seeing a change in this young man that I never, ever envisioned was going to happen. And it's because he bought in and he's found something he really has put his teeth into. You get kids like that, man, we're going to have the strongest young men and women out there ever. And it's just like, it's just a matter of, Will said that time, Dinwiddle, who was on, it's got to go to the mainstream, man. And I think it can. That's why I asked Bill yesterday, why isn't stone lifting, and you can use sandbags as substitutes, why is that not on the mainstream? He goes, I think it could go mainstream, but the big no-no with it is it's too damn hard.
Yep, that's it. It's super simple, but it's too hard. And that is what it boils down to. And what you look for, and here's just a couple things I see, and I've talked to Pops about it.
Sure.
everyone keeps trying to, in weightlifting, they keep trying to find all these different tricks and all these other new crazy pieces of equipment are coming out and all this stuff. And the reason, and all the supplements and all this other, what they're attempting to do is to find an easier road. Mm-hmm. If squats are hard, but it does great it develops the quads, the hamstrings and the glutes really well. Well, then maybe if I make this machine that'll do the same, you could put in less effort and less injury on the knee and all this other stuff they're saying, less axial load, but you could still get a lot of the development. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, unless you have a specific injury you're trying to work around. Hard, basic work wins every day. The whole point of weightlifting is for it to be effing hard.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the point. Don't try to make it easy. It's supposed to be effing hard. That's why you get strong. If you do all this other crap to make it easier, you're then going around the entire point of weightlifting.
Yeah.
And that's why I told him, and we've kind of talked about the weightlifting equipment industry and why it seems to technologically lag behind the rest of the world. Obviously, you know, squat racks are pretty similar to what they were in the 60s, but we were using rotary phones, and now we have Bluetooth cell phones that are little computers. So why has that technology not kept up? Well, I'll tell you why. Because weightlifting works by making inefficient work.
Mm-hmm.
Even from a simple machine, a wheel, a wedge, a lever, those are all made to make work easier.
Yep.
So by technology, generally everything is pushed towards making work easier and easier and easier for the humans. Perfect. Great idea if it's a car or a cell phone or a computer or a microwave or any of that stuff. Awesome.
Sure.
Bad for weightlifting, because weightlifting doesn't work if it's easy.
Well, you know, the whole thing is too, it's fast, it's quick, and that's the way the world's been taught to run right now. You know, we've laughed about this, you know. How many of those infomercials? 90 days, you have the body you want. It's like, I sit there and laugh because I'm like, these poor people are getting suckered right in. And you know, this is what causes the dilemma in physical strength. And I think this is the big one. Not only, you know, when we had Gareth Denyer on from Texas, who does quite a bit of, I think he's graduated like 100 Division I high school players to football. And he's telling me now, and it doesn't surprise me, my brother-in-law was over here last night. We were talking all about this stuff. These trainers, just because they get a cup or a plaque, think they know everything. The majority of them probably suck totally. They could care less because they're making big money with doing this. He said these kids, and obviously they think, because let's say from 13 to 18, they feel they can, because they're young, they can beat these kids right into the ground. And the thing is, maybe they can take it to a point, but here's where they get in trouble. And this is what I realized a long time ago. No 14 kids got the maturity of a 30-year-old. Okay?
Right.
This is where they get in trouble with these kids, because these kids don't understand. They haven't done enough of this stuff to understand what's going on with them. And Gareth was telling me, these kids come in so burned out, or so injured, or have had an injury where they needed surgery already. He said most of them, you know, you're going to watch, they wash right out. And the bad thing is, a lot of these parents are worse than the kids, man. They force these kids, they push them, you know, they get all this overuse injury and stuff like that. And the next thing you know, your hopes and dreams for whatever you're going to do, they're done. They're up in flames. And it's like, I don't care if you're 15 or you're 40. Once you've hurt your psyche enough, unless you're awful strong and you can get back in with the right people, you're mentally ruined. I mean, I got friends of mine that were very good lifters that had a major injury, or they convinced themselves that, you know, they keep getting hurt and hurt and hurt. I can tell you this, they still lift, but they're destroyed mentally. And these were tough people. So if we can get them, what do you think it's going to do to a 15-year-old?
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. We saw that at South Carolina. When I was an athlete, you know, if you had a kid that came in that had already had a surgery, or especially if they got a surgery their freshman or sophomore year, they very rarely ever came back from it. It wasn't physiologically, you know, obviously at that age you could come back, but it was just mentally there. The brakes were always, one foot was always on the brake at that point.
And you
can't blame them. It's not to say that, you know, but at 18 years old, if you've never experienced a ton of pain and all of a sudden you went from being really good to your arms hanging off, you know, that party Friday night sounds a heck of a lot better than your arm hanging off again later on.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think I told you before. I remember the first time I lifted a light stone after everything. You know, I went up, grabbed it, and I dropped it and lifted it and dropped it real fast. And I was like, did my bicep tear? Okay? So
even a guy
like me, the first time I lifted it, I was like, is it going to hold? Is it going to hold? It held. And I never looked back at it after that. But the initial primer of that probably made me more nervous than anything, man, because I was like, when you sustain something like that, it's in your head, and I got rid of it. It's gone. And I can talk about it freely. For a long time, I wouldn't even bring it up. People would bring it up, and I'd be like, I don't want to talk about it. You know. But I think the best thing, like we're concentrating on today with injury, is I think you need to talk about it. You need to talk to other athletes that maybe they've had similar problems or they've had injuries where – knowledge across the board to share is so valuable, man. And I'm talking with the right people, too, not some jerkhole, you know, that yeah, I got hurt, you know, I fixed it, so what, you know. Now, that, to me, that never cures the problem because there's always stuff lingering around. And this is the main thing I find with injury. It's like you've got to flush it from your head. Now, you know, we were talking about before the show started. Obviously, everybody knows I've had some shoulder stuff. You sent the trap bar. You know, it's allowed me to train if I, you know, especially not, I didn't, even though I got a safety squat, I couldn't pin the arm back good. You know, now I can. But I use the trap bar mainly because I'll be honest with you. I told you this, I'll say it on air. I didn't like the way that safety squat felt on my Atlas, which your Atlas and Axis, that's the top and the lower part of your neck, which is all your spine, you know, the whole deal. You know, you break that, you're dead. I didn't like when I started getting up with higher weights, the pressure it was putting on me. So I strictly stuck with the trap bar and just kept using that. I was fine because I can hit we know the trap bar hits everything. So it's like a squat and a deadlift all in one. I feel a lot safer. I felt a lot safer the shoulder. And I didn't want to end up opening another can of worms, so to speak, and say, all right, now I've got pressure on the top of my neck, and now I got to go to the chiropractor for that. So. And like you said, too, you know, we're talking about walking with a stone. Well, for anybody who doesn't know, obviously you can get in the middle of that trap bar and take off with it. That's the whole thing. And that's the beauty of equipment, properly built equipment that, you know, I'm not going to call basic because I didn't design it, but I'm of basic everything right now. And to me, that's very basic and primal for me. It works. It doesn't cause me any arm problems. Very little anything in the shoulder, and when you can use a piece of equipment like that, and further, this is the main thing, when you get hurt, what do you want to do? You want to do everything you can to heal. You want to do everything you can to still be able to train, and, you know, indirectly, I'm able to do my legs still. I'm able to do a carry. I don't have the stone in front of me, but to me, the trap bar, yours in general, is the best way to train the stone for me, and I'll tell everybody why. Just because your hands out are in front of you, they're supinated. The stance I get in with the trap bar from Bert is I get into a similar stance that I would lift the Husafell stone with. And that's the way I set up. It's the way I have my feet positioned, and away we go. So that positions me and makes me stronger. So when I'm healed up, I can go after this thing. And that's how I formulated the whole thing with the bar. Now, with little Al, I had him already at mid-shin with that bar. He's pulled 300 pounds. He's pulled a kid that never deadlifted 2 weeks ago, deadlifted 220 pounds, and he had a lot more in him, and I wouldn't let him do it. So he's already pulled 300 partial, and he's already nailed 220, and we'll see what happens this week. So, you know what I mean, Bert? That, you know, and I want you to talk about it. It's a superior bar. It's a very high quality bar. The hand. This is what I want to tell everybody. And I know they're a little bit oversized. Correct the handles.
Yeah, they're just a little bit oversized. Because we generally all of our athletes are large, and we want to stress it everywhere.
Yeah, but the nice thing, I'll tell you, it's got killer knurling on it. I mean, you grab that thing, whether you chalk up or not, you're going to pull the damn bar unless it's too heavy for you. When you're in it, the positioning of it, I just step in and come straight up. Unless I have the thing misloaded, that's the only way it's going to come up wrong. And like I've told everybody long before I even talked to Bert today, anybody on the show, anytime I've talked about it, you know, when we sponsor it, it's by far one, you know, I've used Alico's and all the stuff, man. It the comfort of that bar and the way it's set up, it's been one of the, it's very pleasurable to use. It's very easy to adapt to, and it's not something that, you know, you get these things that are built and they're hurdy-gurdy and the, you know, the chrome's peeling off into your fingers and none of that. It's all powder-coated, et cetera, et cetera. So you can take it up from there.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'm glad this working so well for you. That was in our conversation we were having off air about what you needed and for the requirement for you getting ready for Iceland. That seemed like it was the best choice. I mean, the bar, we built it probably 12 years ago or so when I was training for the Olympic trials, and I wanted to do more pressing, but not as much bench pressing because I didn't want my pecs to get too tight. Or even too large because I had to be able to stretch for the radius of the hammer. So I wanted to keep my upper body strong. So I was playing one day with an older trap bar and realized that it would work really well for pressing if it was a longer bar. Mm-hmm. So we went out to the shop and built the first one, and it worked a lot better than I thought because you actually get all the heads of your shoulder get work really well, but plus traps for elevating and stabilizing your shoulder in the press. So the majority of the presses that I do overhead now are with the bar. And then obviously we figured out that if it was the size of the rack, it could be very well used inside the rack for lockouts and exercises like that. So because of using it more, I started honestly learning, kind of re-engineering, learning why trap bar is such a great tool. And you hit it on the head, is you could turn, depending on how you shift your body, you could turn it from a deadlift into basically a squat, depending on your back angle, your hip angle, or find something in between that fits and works around your injury, something that you can't do with a squat bar, and you certainly can't do with a regular barbell because of the bar hitting your shin.
Absolutely. So, And, not to interrupt you, but, you know, for anybody that's not doing this, and we usually do this outside unless I'm pulling out of the rack. Here's the thing I like to do, you know. Maybe you've had it a little bit higher than normal, like little Al's had it 300. Well, you know what we're doing now? We're putting half-inch pieces of plywood under his feet and building them like that. Also, too, I like taking it. I have different pieces of wood that I've got different heights, or I can use my pulling blocks or my steel ones. Go out and do that. I know it's a partial. You're not in a rack, but it's so versatile that I can play all kinds of games with. You know, I put my car tires on it before and lifted
it.
You know, this is what I'm trying to say. It's like there's not a lot of pieces of equipment that are that versatile like that. I mean, when you can jog down a driveway with it, loaded to whatever you want, strip it down, come back empty if you want. If you want to slide pieces of plywood under your feet, you know, elevate you that way so you're closer to it, so you're doing a legal lift off the ground. If you want to end up putting various things underneath the plates or the tires to raise it up, be my guest, you know. And what I'll emphasize more than anything, because of the knurling on the bar, you know, I don't care. You know, people are always like, oh, I use strap. I don't give a shit, man. I was using tacky yesterday. I'll use straps on if it gets so friggin' heavy. I don't care, because here's the deal, Bert. I want to lift something, okay? Right. And eventually I'll condition my hands and everything, be able to get the straps off. But I'm not a purist anymore like I used to be. It's like, straps. Or, you know, before it's like, I won't do anything reverse-handed with a deadlift. Everything's clean grip. That's just, it's been that way for 10 years with me. Those are just things that have erupted in my head, and I don't care. It's like, you're using tacky. Well, I'm only using tacky in training. Well, how are you going to be ready for, I said, are you kidding me, man? Are you, you know, I mean, when it's hot as it's been here, okay, and your body's sweating all over, and I throw some tape to the middle of my forearm and put light tacky on, here's how I look at it. It's better than dropping a thing on my foot and shattering it, okay? Because I got news for you. For anybody that doesn't know anything about these steel stones, they're goddamn 185 pounds empty, and they're as hard as you could ever think of. That hits your shin or your knee, and especially if it hits your foot, you could be in serious-ass trouble. So I think all these things help, and with your bar, you know, hey, everybody out there, if you want to use straps, use them. I'm not going to hold it against you.
I agree completely. I mean, they're definitely training aids that we used while I was training, whether it be straps or whether it be a special glove for a hook grip when I was throwing it. If it's able to increase the volume of effective reps that you could get while training, that's the key, because you can't always go to competition-style training. Yes, you need to as you get closer and closer to competition, but in my opinion, if you're going to weigh training volume and maximal strength or doing it exactly like the event, you need to be able to get the training volume in. If you could get stronger, if you could deadlift 600 pounds on that trap bar using straps, I'd rather get your hips and your back and your legs tuned up for 600 pounds than do 500 pounds because your grip is the issue. I'd rather have that extra 100 pounds of strength in your hips when you go to lift that stone.
Absolutely. You know what it is? I just think that you got to do what's right for you. And when you're going after these big goals, and, you know, we know what can happen with them. They can punish you and hurt you really bad if you don't get them. You need these aids to work with. And, you know, this all goes back to what we're talking about with injuries and stuff. You know, people are too prone to listen to everybody else. And that's one thing I try to do here. Look, if you came to me and said, you know, maybe you ought to look at it this way, whether I did or not, I'd respect what you said. And we probably would implement some stuff, okay? But you also got to be able to think on your own, too. And that's where we're lacking in a lot of physical strength, I think, because, you know, if you go out to Facebook, we know everybody looks like they're Bill Kazmaier, all right? Right, and you and I both know. Come on, all right? It's the same thing with, you know, Zydrunas, any of these guys. And I think most of that stuff out there is not on the up and up. I think you need it for business. I think it serves as a great tool there. But anything I'm putting out there and anybody I'm speaking to, as in yourself, is an authentic lifter. No matter what you've done with physical strength, you have a background as a child, you know, due to your father. You can't discount those things, okay? So when we're talking or anybody's talking with me here or you and I or whoever's putting stuff out on Facebook, it's the real deal. I mean, if you come to me and ask me, was that real, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I mean, do you want me to go out and film it again for you? I mean, it's like, you know, it's like there's a certain thing, and I think that the authenticity and the level of doing things and the experience of having an injury, the experience of working through an injury, and you know what the best triumph is? You beat the injury. And you hit it right on the nose in the beginning when you said you really haven't trained and you really haven't become a lifter, unfortunately, till you get an injury. And sometimes it requires surgery. Sometimes now with this thing, I mean, it's been over 3 months now. Now we're starting to be able to get down to the nitty-gritty. Now we're going to really test it with stones come Sunday night, next Sunday. So there's certain measures, I'll say measures of a man. I mean, there's measures that, you know, you can have a lot of stuff, a lot of ghosts running around in your head. And I've had them before, man, and you got to get rid of them. And you got to cure whatever it is, whether you have to have the work surgically done or you have to go to somebody maybe that knows a little more on you. But be cautious of that, too, because go out and do your research. Know what you're walking into anytime you have anything, because sometimes you're going on the word of somebody. You don't, you know, even if you check them out or whatever, you really don't know. So try to educate yourself or ask people that have had injuries. What do I ask? What am I listening to when I go there, and how do I proceed here? Because I want to keep my weightlifting going, because we know if you stop lifting, those you're going to have a lot of things creeping into you mentally. You're going to start feeling lousy physically, and once you get into that little shape, that's a hard thing to come out of. So, you know, that's kind of how I would – that's how – well, let me put it – that's how I approach everything.
Right, right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I've had periods of time where I've either been injured or busy or something like that where I won't say that I've never stopped lifting. I certainly have never stopped. But, you know, there'll be times where you only get two or three sessions in a two-week period. Yep. And it's just how it's how life works. And then you get a good week in, and then you have another two weeks that you get two or three sessions in. And after you realize – after a while, you realize that you're pretty detrained, but you're not only detrained mentally, physically, but detrained mentally, where you kind of lose the urge to it because you've kind of weaned yourself off of it. And it's a hard thing coming back. It's really hard, and I've been in periods more of that here recently due to, you know, having kids and business growing and things like that. And then that's when I've realized I have to go back to basics and just do the most effective things I possibly can and not do a whole lot of variation. Literally, it'll come back to something like a diamond bar deadlift or diamond bar lockout, pull-ups, and even diamond bar presses or standing press, period. Absolutely. Just a bunch of that. And if I could go in for 45 minutes and do as much of that as I can – three or four days a week. Heck, even if you do literally the deadlifts three times a week, the presses three times a week, the pull-ups three times a week, sure. Is it scientific? Is it perfect? No. But am I putting a lot of effort in and getting my body back realizing that, oh, yeah, working out is fun. This is what I do. I feel good again. I get a little bit of a pump. I start feeling strong. And that's kind of one of those gets you right back into the mix without getting super scientific or cute with it. Sometimes hard work is the best remedy.
Without a doubt, and you know with what you're using there, you're going head to toe. You don't need any more. And the thing is, what's going to happen, every workout, you're going to build on your desire to get better and better. See, this is where we fall off the frigging cliff, man. It's like, okay, I'm going to add more. Well, why are you going to add more? All right, if you're working out and you're using your diamond bar, and let's just say you're training – 3 to 4 weeks in, you're going anywhere from 4 to 550, you know, to get in shape or whatever it is. What you're doing is you're building on it. You're building more strength, more size, and you've had that time off, so you've recovered fully. So now you can build the program, build yourself mentally, and then after you're done with this, then you go by what people need from you. And we know that's what it is. You have children, you have a wife, you have a huge business. There's constantly people pulling on you. So it gives you the ability now to lay the foundation back on, down, and the next thing you know, all right, well, maybe I'm going to add some farmer's walks today, or I'm going to walk with a diamond bar.
Sure.
Or, you know what I mean? You know, maybe I'm going to go flip a tire for 20 minutes. But what's happened is you've built yourself back up, and you haven't crushed yourself mentally or physically by stopping fully. And that's the nature of the beast right there. It's like rest if you gotta rest, eat when you gotta eat, man. And when you get out and lift, lift like it's the last day of your life, man. I mean, that's what Bill and I were talking about at the end of the show yesterday. I was like, hey, women, children, your house is your business. It's great. I mean, there's nothing better. All right, but you know something, man? Lifting's the best, dude. I mean it in a context where it all works together, okay?
Sure.
But
sure.
I said to him, tell me this, man. What would you rather do than weightlifting? Baseball? Nope. I played all that shit, man. You know, football, basketball, we played summer league, all that stuff. Hockey. We used to play hockey. We used to play street hockey where we'd beat the snot out of each other. You'd be getting hit by a pro puck, man. It felt like it was going to break you in two, you know. But when it came to touching that iron, that first goddamn sand set, man, that was leaking all over. I knew it, dude. I knew when I pulled that bar up for the first time, I said, I got it. You know what I mean? And it's like, here we are today talking.
There's something very addictive about all of a sudden you kind of feel that superhuman strength. And I say all of a sudden, it's not like it happens overnight, but it seems like you recognize it seemingly overnight. I remember being in my college dorm room my freshman year. I came in and I'd already lifted a good bit at that time, but I weighed like 172 when I got out of high school at 6'2" and a half. So I was tall, skinny, you know, had some decent numbers, but nothing extraordinary. And I started kind of, you know, growing more. I put on 30 pounds my first semester. And I remember moving out of my dorm room at right at Christmas, and I was standing on a chair.
Yeah.
Standing on a chair to get something out of the top of the closet. And I happened to look over, and there was a mirror in our dorm room. Yeah. And I looked over, and all I could see was from my, like, mid-waist down. And I really honestly didn't recognize whose legs they were.
Exactly.
And all I remember thinking, like, I was like, oh, my gosh, I got a big butt. And my legs are muscular. What the heck? And it was literally like I noticed it overnight. But I had put on 30 pounds, and my squat had gone from 300 to 470, and you know, yeah, that'll happen, right? I'm 18 years old, and that works. So it's kind of funny, like it didn't happen overnight, but I noticed it overnight. And then everywhere, you know, I go home for the break, and then, you know, guys want to go play basketball, and all of a sudden I could dunk.
Yeah, because you're that big butt, man.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, like, anyone that wants to race in a foot race, I could beat everyone because I'm really powerful. And you go, like, wow, this is much what it kind of feel like to be like a level two or a B-level superhero.
Absolutely, man.
And then that gets addictive. And then you go, oh, okay, if I put in this extra work, this is how life is from now on. When I go to pick up a refrigerator or a couch or something like that, when everyone's straining, I just kind of pick it up and do it. When we got to push a car or do whatever, I could do this really, really well. Man, that becomes something that sticks with you in life, and you start working with a new set of tools. And that's the exciting part when you go, okay, yeah, it's like a bear realizing that he's a bear finally.
Yeah, and he weighs 1,200 pounds, and he stands 9 feet tall, you know what I mean? It's like, wow.
He's always kind of thought that he was a little cub or adult, maybe that he wasn't very effective. But when he realizes those claws on his paws are there for something, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
life just changed.
Yeah, and his paws the size of your head. And that, you know, you said the thing. I'll give the word. What you did is you just created an individual young man. I mean, an independent young man. You don't realize that when you're doing this stuff, but, you know, like I always say, I can tell, like, somebody that lifts, man, and you know too, the most exposed thing on you is your neck.
Sure.
I don't care what type of the weather is. I mean, I can tell somebody that's got a muscular neck that's doing something, and it's true. Most strength level athletes, no matter what they do, if they're heavy squatters, and we know that you need to squat heavy no matter what, you're always going to have a big ass. That's just the way it is, because you're going to be a muscular guy or gal. And
pants are going to fit weird. All your jeans are going to be super tight on your butt, your thighs, and that's just how it is.
And I, like any of my dress clothes, all the pants, stuff like that, all have to be custom made, because I can't go into a rack and buy them off a rack, because here's the deal. I'm 6 foot, but the guy that used to do my stuff originally said that my frame, the way it's set, I should have been probably about 6'3 or 6'4. He said, you got the freakiest dimensions, man. You know, a guy at your height should not have these dimensions. They're so big, because I have very big hips. Hey, look it. When you're blowing shit out of a rack dead stop, and you're walking with heavy stuff, and you're, you know, you're doing stuff with iron boots where you're specifically working the hinges like that, and, you know, you're doing stuff like the side bends from Bradley Steiner and all. Let me tell you something. You do that over a course of decades,
sure,
you're going to get huge, man. And, you know, if you want to get bigger, obviously body weight, you know, it's all things. But that's a small price to pay. You know, I think if you're out growing clothes and you're doing it right, I mean, who gives a shit? I mean, not unless you don't want to do it to that extent. But you know what my big thing is right now? That, you know, since it's been kind of hit and miss for the last, you know, 12, 13, 14 weeks now, you know, it's like I'm so inspired right now to be able, you know, Bert, this, we don't talk about this enough, you know, it's an honor to be able to do what we do. I mean that sincerely, too. To be able to have the physical attributes to go out and do this stuff, and we're talking years in here, okay? And I've been so inspired about being able to just get my arm back correctly on, you know, a Buffalo bar or whatever I'm using. And people say, oh, well, you don't realize, man, little things like that stop you from doing what you want to do when you're hurt. Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't give a shit how big I get at this point. I'm just going bananas. And I tell you, man, I'm enjoying it. It's like breathing a new life into me right now. Yeah. I'm not exaggerating. I'm just so thankful to be able to get back in, and I'm getting back into what I love doing totally again. And I'm not feeling the effects of that injury, man.
Oh, isn't it awesome? I mean, it's so liberating. And you have to go into the – if you have to get surgery or the rehab or whatever it is, you have to go into it with the mindset that you're going to still excel past where you were prior to the injury. I know there's some athletes. One athlete that comes to mind is Derek Woodski. If you ever follow his stuff or listen to him, guy's had a number of would-be career-ending injuries. I think he's blown out his Achilles twice, his patella once.
Yep.
And he was just talking the other day. He said, you know, I've had to completely reinvent myself three times.
Yeah.
I remember going under the knife in 2000, for just a small knee surgery, you know, but at the time I hadn't had surgery before. I'm 24 years old, something like that. A lot of my friends, we'd already been through our college career. They've already, in their minds, were kind of washed up or burnt out. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm just starting. I'm just hitting my stride.
Yeah.
I remember the last thing I told the doctor when he went in. He goes, well, I don't know if we're going to have to do X, Y, or Z to your knee. And I just looked at him and I said, listen, go in there and fix it. Whatever you have to do, I'm fine with. But when I wake up, realize I'm going to go back, and within 6 months, I'm going to try to squat 600 pounds again. So fix it with that in mind. Don't fix it to make me a normal dude, because I'm not going to do that. So just whatever you have full right, if you got to put a new knee on me, whatever you have to do, but just realize that this is going to be tested, and I'm going to be stronger than I ever was. So fix it with that in mind.
Yep.
That was my mindset going into, and because of it, I did hit, you know, lifetime best after that in every lift and every throwing event and everything like that. But many people would have seen that and go, well, all right, wrap it up, boys. You know, good game.
Go sit in a chair and turn into
I'm not really big on watching other people do sports. That's never really interested me. You know, people say, oh, yeah. Super Bowl and all this. Okay, great. Super Bowl is fun. Of course, I enjoy watching the greatest football players in the world because I'm attracted to excellence. That's great.
Yep.
Okay, I'll watch the best of anybody do something. But really, barring that, I'm not that interested in other people playing out their wishes and their dreams. I'm interested in helping them.
Yep.
I'm not interested in sitting back in armchair quarterback and going, oh, this guy did this week and this. I really don't give two craps, to be honest.
Me neither, man. I don't either.
You know, it's selfish, but I think you have to be kind of self-centered to be a good athlete, or especially a lifter that lifts by himself. Because, you know, Bro Greer had a good quote. He said, "Don't be a background player in someone else's movie."
And totally. And you know, I tell people this too. You know, they like all these movies. You know that Southpaw one that was just on? I mean, that thing's pretty much tanked, right? And I say to people, you know, they're like, oh, you got to go see it and all this. I said, you know, Rocky Balboa to me, or, you know, Raging Bull or something like that, I that's more like my speed, all right? Because a lot of this stuff is woven in with all this gangster shit and all that, and I don't really care about that stuff. And, you know, you when you go out and lift, if you're with a group or you're by yourself, you know what, man? You're doing your own movie all the time.
Yeah.
And the struggles and the shit that we've done and the stuff that I plan on doing, let me tell you something, man. I'll sit back there and piece all kinds of clips together. You want to see someone that will just punish their ass right through the ground and keep coming back and, you know, fail and then succeed, and you're covered with chalk, or I'm covered in sweat, or I'm covered with tacky, and I go to move my arm, and it hits my leg, and it's funny as hell. It's stuck to my friggin' kneecap, and you're ripping it off. I mean, that's, to me, what it's all about. That's the, you know, they want to talk about the hard life. That's the hard life, man. Go in and walk in and do that. I think weightlifting, and I'll say it to the day I'm dead, stones, everything, Highland, whatever you want to get into. I like to kind of keep it there. I don't really care about a lot of the other stuff. You know, there's good power lifters. There's great ones. All that genre when it's kind of like real honest, I'll say, all right? There's nothing out there that matches it. I mean, I don't mind pugilism, but I don't really like the way it all is now. I'm talking way back probably in the days of Rocky Marciano, you know, Dempsey. I love watching old stuff like that. You know, these men lived hard. They drank, whatever.
Hey,
all
even
stuff.
The early UFC.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah,
those were just guys beating the crap out of each other.
That's it. You know, and I just like the idea that, you know, something, okay, the goal is we're going to throw the 56 where we're going to try to hit the moon with it, okay? Right. Or we're going to, you know, we're going to squat dead stop 700 today, and I'm going to come out of the chute fast, and it's going to sound like tick, 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 and I'm standing up with it now. But it's going to feel like it took 10 minutes to do something I did say in 2 seconds, okay? That's the shit I'm talking about. Or the days you go out there, man, you know from work and everything, you're just hammered in the head. Everybody's been beating you over the head all day and say, I got to go out there tonight. But then you're trying to invent 500 excuses why you shouldn't. But then you say, no, I am going to go out tonight and do it. And you did it, and it's the best thing you ever did for yourself because it resets your life, in my opinion.
Right. Or that's it. You go out and you try to do 50 variations of something when you could probably just load up the squat bar and squat for 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
And just squat. And again, I just read one of Dan John's books, and I can't say enough great things about his ability to write and to train. And one of his scouts was, you know, pick 5 exercises and do 1 exercise a day, you know, maybe skip a day here and there, but just do 1 exercise. If you're going to bench press today, bench press for 45 minutes and go.
Absolutely.
And that's it. If that's all the time you have, do that and then come back tomorrow and deadlift for 45 minutes. Hard.
Yep.
And you know, again, it goes back to it's simple, but it's not easy.
It's not, but you know what the whole thing of the matter is? It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to do this stuff. And you know something? You got to be willing to unplug, plug something else in. Maybe that's not working. And like you said with Dan John, you know, so you go out and do 45 minutes. Set an egg timer for 30 minutes if you want, all right? And when it's done, you're done no matter what. And if you don't feel like it, don't take the weights off your bar. You wouldn't last here. But you know what I'm saying?
It's sure.
If you feel you got to walk out, do that because you know what's going to happen? It's going to make you a hell of a lot better come the next day or 2 days later or whatever you're going to hit. So that's how I see it. You got anything else, sir?
No, man, that's good. I like just talking alternate ways and mindsets because all of us have to battle the same things, whether they be actual injury or just even something in our head that tells us that, you know, it's time to cash in the chips.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you give all your information out? I'll give mine and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Sure thing. You can reach me at bert@sorinex.com. Our website is www.sorinex.com. You can hit me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of it's Bert Sorin, or you can hit our Sorinex account. We try to keep things simple. And let us know what you think. Let us know what you want us to talk about. And if you have any ideas or things, ways that we can help you get stronger, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by www.docsprefer.com. That's Dr. Juan. And obviously, he is helping me out tremendously to go away to Iceland. I thank him for that. Next, we have Sorinex, www.sorinex.com. You'll have heard the show. You know what the deal is. Bert and Richard both generously sent me a trap bar. We talked about it. It's oversized. You can use it in the power rack. That's what I wanted. And I obviously, you know, we can press with it. It's an exceptional bar. I'm telling you the truth. There's no BS coming here. I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for a trap bar, you got to go with it. It is incredible. So, and you can call them also at 803-978-2253 extension 111. tell them Motivation and Muscle sent you. Next, we have Hearts Collision. That's only for New York residents. HeartsCollision.com, 518-477-7937. Tell Lori or Alex that Motivation sent you. Next, we have the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's a free ebook. 10 paragraphs, man, like everything Bert and I were talking about. I'll never stop harping on simplicity and basics, but, you know, it's the basics of the mind. Learn how to use your mind. It doesn't get discussed enough, and everybody wants to write stuff now, and nothing against anybody, but it's not anything I'd choose. I mean, it's got some good stuff, but I don't think you need to go all over the place. I think if you contain it and you know how to present it, I think you can do more with it. But that's just my opinion, so whatever that is. Winner's Circle. That's going to be 12 modules, 27 to 34 minutes. Starts from the beginning right to where we are today. We're going to open up that area much bigger because, like I said, we want to get everybody involved. And, you know, we talk about everything here. You know, we talked about strategies to get back after an injury. Use a track bar. You know, use anything. Use a super safety squat bar. Anything that's going to allow you to be able to get back in and keep training around what you're doing. If you can proceed like that, you're always going to have success. So go out and check out the Winner's Circle at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Of course, we've got the intensity training videos. They're free. You can get in there and look at a bunch of that stuff. We're going to have a lot more. And obviously, Chris Bigelow does everything here. That's 800-687-1609, monsterdevelopment.com. And I want to tell everybody out there, I was telling Bert about this. Frank DeMeo from The Cave heard the show with myself and Dr. Will Wong, who's on every month, and it was intense. I mean, I've had stuff from people saying it was the best show they ever heard with me. Maybe yes, maybe no, but, you know, everybody on here brings some type of attitude, and it's beautiful. And this guy and I got into some stuff, man. And Frank heard this, and he was like, you know, when I talked about going away for a year to harden up, he was like, you got to read this book. So he sends me an email and says, so this is the deal I'm putting out to everybody. Go out and get the book, Cowboys, Mountain Men, and Grizzly Bears. It's by Matthew P. Mayo. That's M-A-Y-O. You get it right off Amazon, and you'll know the cover of it. There's a guy with a knife in his hand getting mauled by a grizzly bear. It is bad as hell. And the stories are like three or four pages. They're incredible. We're going to start talking about that book, and I don't care if you're a lifter or not. You want to come on here, you buy that book, you're going to be able to come on the show with me for anywhere from a half an hour to an hour. Because, like with Alex with the body shop and everything, man, here's my deal. I said this to Bert off air. I think what you do shapes you. And when you're doing hard physical labor and stuff like that, why do you think you see these guys with hams, you know, hams for hands? I mean, their mitts are huge. Big wrists. You know, they're veiny. They're strong. They're powerful. They don't have to weigh 330 pounds with a 22-inch arm to show you how powerful they are. So check out that book, Cowboys, Mountain Men, and Grizzly Bears, and you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Send me an email if you want to come on. We'll schedule something whenever I've got. We're going to have some openings near the end of the year. Obviously, if you want Bert and I to do a show, same thing, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationandMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. We're getting 5 stars from everybody, and I've got a couple people now that are going to write articles for the blog. They like the stuff so much, so I thank them. That's going to be coming down the road. We're at Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter, at Fiorello Eric, and just keep looking for more and more new stuff. And I'll leave you with 3 things today, I always do. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, don't be afraid to give your time to them. It's very important. You never know who you're changing, what you're saying that's going to really influence something very positive. So don't be afraid to show your inner strength. It's better than the outer, believe me. Secondly, as my mom said to us when we were kids, never, ever be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. It might be all they get that day. And if you're an observer like me, I'll tell you, take a look at people's eyes and just the way they look. There's so many people out there I see. They just look so defeated and beaten down, man. So, I mean, if someone asks you something, be a man or a lady about it and answer them. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And last but not least, go out today and lift some big hunks and chunks of iron. Take some stones and turn them into dust. And remember, we are domination here, and we are going to be over a million strong when I'm done with this whole thing. And I'm telling you, we're on our way. So, you know, get out there today and just make a difference in the world. Make a difference in your life. Have fun. Bert, once again, brother, thanks for a great show.
Thanks a ton for having me, bud. I really appreciate it.
I love having you on, man. And as I said, thank you for your generosity, both you and your dad. So for Bert Soren, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. I'm going to be quite busy right through to Friday. We've got 15 shows, I believe it is. Got them this afternoon. Tomorrow's a heavy day. Wednesday's a heavy day. Thursday is huge. I even got them into the night. So we've had them all weekend in here. But, hey, we want to get everything out. We want to get our branding bigger. And we've got people on it. You know, the amount of expertise they got, the content you can draw from this show, I haven't seen anything out there like this, and we're just going to keep giving it to you. So, everybody, have a great week. Have a good life this week, and enjoy yourself. We will talk to you next month.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.